join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
We're going to look at the chapter of 32. Genesis 32, verse 22. It's a very familiar story in the Bible, and I felt like I wanted to pick up on where Pastor left last week's second service. Now, he preached an entirely different message to second service than he did first service. Now, I know that that's unlike him, and you probably think that he's never done that before because it's just by the book. But he spoke about this fight. 2 Timothy chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says this, and you hear it quite often at going home services. You hear this verse that says, I have fought the good fight. How many of you believe that we are in a fight today? The enemy comes, according to John 10:10, to steal, kill, and destroy. There is a fight for your faith. There is a fight for your life. There is a fight for your family. And I'm telling you, we have to put the gloves on. We have to get ready for this fight. And so this morning, I've entitled my message, What's Your Name? It's a very common question. Usually in greetings, you can shake a hand and you'll say, hi, my name's Clint. What's your name? There's something in a name. You hear the name LeBron James, and what comes to mind? Someone said football up here. How many of you don't? Nothing comes to mind when you hear LeBron James. All right, good, awesome. Michael Jordan, we'll go generationally. Michael Jordan, okay. We'll go back even further. Dr. J. Okay, all right. You think about what they're good at, right? You hear the name Martin Luther King Jr., and what comes to mind? Freedom, I have a dream. Abraham Lincoln, what comes to mind? President, Gettysburg Address. When you hear the name Miley Cyrus, what comes to mind? Just lost you. Spirit of the Lord went out the building right there. Or maybe that was just the ushers coming back in. He didn't like them. I'm joking, kinda. See, there's something in a name. When your name is spoken, what do people think of? When people hear Clint DeGroote, what do they think of? Guy who looks like Brad Pitt. I'll stop there. There was something else in my mind, but the filter is on in January. Come back in November of this year, it'll be gone. Proverbs 22, verse 1, write this down. It says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. How many of you believe that? I can remember growing up, and my parents split at an early age, but my dad lived only 3 miles away, and we would ride our bikes over there every other weekend, and he was our coach for every athletic event that we did. And I can remember him saying, son, I gave you that first name, but the last name is still mine. How many of you had a parent that was like that? Do not smear our last name. Do not do something that will bring dishonor to the DeGroote name. Not that it was some massive great name in Santa Fe, you know, but we were related to just about everybody. But I can remember thinking, man, to have this name, you know, and throughout my days, I was known as Jason's little brother because I was a second born, and my brother was great academically. He was great in sports, and so there was something about our name. When you said DeGroote, I was in eighth grade. I can remember it vividly, and I told my parents, look, here's the thing. I am not going to be a quarterback in football. I'm not going to do it because my brother was a quarterback, and I didn't want to follow like in his footsteps, right, because I was prideful, arrogant, little punk kid. So I did not want to do that. And so the coaches on the first day of, you know, practice, they're like, well, what position do you want to do? And I was like, running back. You know? And they said, what's your name? Clint DeGroote, sir. They said, whoa, your name's DeGroote? Yes, sir. Like, your brother's Jason DeGroote, the varsity quarterback, right? I said, yes, sir, that's him. No, you're going to be quarterback. I could barely throw the ball from me to Chase. I could, you know. But because of the name, there was something in that name that they thought, well, maybe there's a chance he can get a little bit better. There's something about a name. See, the meaning of my name doesn't have much in today's time, but in biblical times, a name really meant something. There was something about that name. In biblical times, the name was in line with the character and identity of that person. Even kids were named based on the events that were happening at birth. Can you imagine being named after events of your birth? Pain. Agony over there. Accident over there. Let's be honest, there's no accidents in God's kingdom, amen? That's right. Genesis 32, verse 22, we find a story of a man who had a name. He had a pretty bad name. Now, was a blessed man, but his name did not have much good from it. It says in verse 22, that night Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 sons, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he had sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone. All right, let's pause here for a moment. Because Jacob in this story, you have to understand some of the background of this man to really truly grasp what we're reading. Jacob was the brother of Esau. How many of you remember the story? In Genesis chapter 25, we find the story of these two sons that are being born to Isaac. And so these two sons, they're twins, they're in the womb of their mother. And it says at their birth, they both were fighting to be first place. How many of you have siblings in the house? How many of you have siblings? How many of you are a brother or sister? Four. How many of you are only children? Your only child? Two. How many of you just didn't raise your hand? Okay, there you are. So in this moment, they come out, and Jacob is grabbing the heel of Esau. Jacob was trying to get to be first place. He's a baby, so he didn't understand birthright and all that, but there was something innate in him that wanted to grab the heel and pull. And so his mom named him Jacob, which means liar, supplanter, or grabber of the heel. Are you following me? Well, how about that for a name? How about that for when you come into a room and people, instead of calling you Jacob, you walk in, "What's up, liar?" Let's do that. Let's start new in 2014, and instead of calling you by your name, we'll just call you by your character. Hey, gossiper, come on in. Hey, backbiter. Yeah, that's you. How are you doing? Yeah, cheater. That was to all the youth. Can you imagine? And so growing up with this name Jacob, it's not just like, hey, what's up, Jacob? How you doing? Man, hey, what's up, liar? This is you. It gets worse because how many of you have seen, I've said this before, but you've seen shy children and they hide behind their parents. And what do parents say? Oh, they're just shy, right? And so they start to speak these things over their kids, and it really gets all over them, and they become shy adults. And from the time they were 3 till 23, their parents continue to say, oh, she's just shy. Oh, he's just shy. Oh, he doesn't talk much. Oh, you don't know that because you've been telling him what to do his whole life. And so Jacob lives up to his name. He lives up to Jacob. He lives up to liar. In Genesis 25, it says that he steals the birthright. Or he does it in such a way that he gets the birthright. How many remember the story? Esau comes in. He's starving. Now, I don't understand Esau in this moment. Okay, like there's only one bowl of soup left in the house. It's the man of God. This is the blessed man of God. There's one, and so he's cooking, all right? And you got to understand, because Esau was the hairy one and manly one. All right, how many hairy men do we have in the house? Don't raise your hand. And then Jacob was smooth skinned, was better on the inside. He was more of an inside sales kind of guy. And so he started to make this pot. He started to make this soup. And so Esau comes in from hunting. He's starving. He's been working all day. And he says, give me a bowl of soup. And Jacob was like, no. Come on, man, just give me a bowl of soup. I'm starving. I am about to die. All right? That's where I lose the story. I lose Esau in this moment, and I don't feel too sorry for him. He could have been like, all right, cool, I'll go to the fridge and just grab a Lunchable. But he says, no, I want that bowl of soup. And he says, well, sell me your birthright. Sell me that birthright that gives me 2 times more than what you get. Just for a bowl of soup. Esau's like, done. Show me where to sign. He signs and just eats that. How many of you watch Sesame Street? Cookie Monster? This is how I read the Bible. In my mind, I see him like, you know, num num, you know, just the soup just like pouring the whole, you know, and it just falling down and getting caught up in his hair. Kind of gross. It's the word of God. Get over it. And he sells his birthright. And so Jacob obtains this birthright through a mischievous kind of way. In Genesis 27, he steals the blessing. The blessing truly is, the birthright is great, but it's the blessing in this time that was truly the blessing. It was the Father's words spoken that would release God's favor and anointing and blessing over their house and over their life. And everything that they touched would turn to gold, and so to speak. And so Jacob and his mom devise a scheme to get this blessing because Isaac is on his deathbed. And so he says to Esau, I want you to go and I want you to kill some game and make me some of that good stew that I love, son. And Esau said, Dad, I'll do anything. I'll go get it. And so he went off and he went hunting. And so the mom and Jacob get into the kitchen and start to make good game stew. Probably the same stew that he stole the birthright with. Are you following me? And so they make this pot. He puts some wool on him to make him feel hairy. He disguises his voice a little bit. Talk about manipulation, 101. And he goes into his dad's room, who is blind, who can't see. And he goes in there, says, Dad, I got your soup. He's like, you feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob.
No, Dad, I'm Esau, you know.
And he blesses him. And he walks out with the blessing. The gifts of God are without repentance, okay? So the blessing of God is without repentance. There's nothing that begun. Once the blessing is spoken, it's spoken. And so this blessing comes upon Jacob. He got it without honor, without integrity, and he walked out blessed by God. Now, I don't understand. Sometimes we don't understand. Well, how come there was just this power in the Father's words? And so Esau comes in, gives him the stew, and he says, Dad, bless me. And Dad was like, I just blessed somebody else, son. Can you imagine that conversation? Son, I just gave away your car. Oops. Son, your college tuition. Man, it just went to someone else. I'm sorry. Your blessing, your favor, your life just went to someone else. He was furious. So mom said to Jacob, you better go because he's going to kill you. And so Jacob flees. Jacob goes, and for 20 plus years, he works for Laban, his uncle. He marries Leah. He marries Rachel. And how many of you know that story? Read it. Go from Genesis 25 to, I'm telling you, he gets what he deserves, Jacob, if you know the story. Let me just say it. He gets duped into marrying another woman. Now, I don't understand how that happens. Again, I don't have too much pity for him. Because you can look with your eyes and say, hey, that ain't Rachel. Anyways. Because he doesn't realize it till the morning. They're not identical twins either. So Jacob has led this life of manipulation. He's led this life as a liar. He's led this life. He's a blessed man. By the time we pick up this story and he's left alone on the side of the river, he's a blessed man, a very rich man. God has blessed and anointed him. But there's something missing. There's something in his name that is causing him grief. He's going back to meet Esau. He's going back to meet his brother, whom he duped, whom he got all everything from. He's going back to address his past. Are you following me? And so in this moment, he's left alone. And in this moment, this is what happens. Now get ready, because our media team's going to play this song. And this is what is happening in the mind of Jacob. Ready, set, go. Are you following? Now, if there's something in a name, there's something in a song. When you hear that song, what do you think of? Rocky Balboa. All right? And what was Rocky? Fighter. And so he's left alone. And let me just say this. Last week, Pastor talked about facing the giant and fighting the giant, an enemy that was on the outside. This morning, Jacob is facing a giant. Not on the outside, but he's facing a giant on the inside. And let me just say this, the giant on the inside usually is much bigger than the giant on the outside. The giant that you face every single morning when you wake up is the giant that speaks to you. It's your conscience, it's your past, it's everything that you've gone through. That giant, my friend, is much bigger than Goliath standing at 9+ feet. Are you following me? So Jacob was left alone. When you're alone, how many of you understand, sometimes when you're alone, it's even louder than when everybody's around you. Those voices start to attack you. Those voices start to criticize you. Those voices start to condemn you. It's the giant on the inside. And it was Jacob. It was his name. It was his nature that was calling out to him, and it was causing him grief because he was going back to what he had done. And he knew in his heart of hearts, that he be a blessed man. He had gained it with dishonor and with manipulation. So he was left alone, and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. The man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." But Jacob replied, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." The man asked, "What is your name? What is your name?" "Jacob," he answered. Then the man said, "Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome." Jacob said, "Please tell me your name." But he replied, "Why do you ask my name?" Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "It is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared." The sun rose above him as he passed Peniel, and he was limping because of his hip. Therefore, to this day, the Israelites do not eat the tendon attached to the socket of the hip, because the socket of Jacob's hip was touched near the tendon. Let me just say a few things before we dismiss. Number one, there comes a point in your life where you have to face your past. There comes a point in our life when we have to face our past. We have to face who we are. We have to face where we are. And sometimes our past is not 20 years ago, but as believers, our past is yesterday. Sometimes our past is today. And we walk in it, and we have to face it. There comes a point where we have to say, will we stand or will we run? See, Jacob was nervous about this meeting with his brother. He wasn't really even nervous about that. He was nervous about who he was. He was nervous about what he was going to do. And there was this struggle on the inside of him that was raging. Nobody could tell on the outside, but on the inside. And let me say this. If you are struggling with who you are, welcome to the club. If you're struggling with where you're at, then you're in a good place, because the struggle confirms that you are still his. Let me say that again. The struggle confirms that you're still His. When you don't struggle, worry. When you don't care about what you're doing, worry. Because that's when your heart is kind of away. But when you have that struggle and that fight and you're like, God, why do I do that? Understand, you're in a good place because God is still speaking to your heart. So Jacob's in this place. He's in this place of where he's facing his past. And he has to wrestle with it. He has to fight or flight. How many of you have heard that? There's two options usually in life, fight or flight. We either stand and confront, or we run and we hide. It's two options. And Jacob had this option before him. I'm either going to stand and face who I am with God, because sometimes our fight is really not against the enemy at all, but our fight is truly, we're wrestling with God. Sometimes we bind the enemy and rebuke the enemy and God, you know, and really God is saying, why are you rebuking the enemy? It's just me. You're struggling with me. Your struggle is not against the enemy right now. It's against me. And so today we have to answer the question, will we fight or will we run? Number three. So number one, you have to face your past. Number two, you got to fight or you will flight. Number three, be truthful with yourself and with God. See, God asks him this question, which I believe is the question of the morning. He says, what is your name? That's an odd question. Can you imagine in your fight? Can you imagine in a real wrestling match, in a real fight today? How many of you watch UFC? Awesome. You need help. I'm joking. But can you imagine in the middle of a fight, one of the guys says, hey, what's your name? What did it matter? What's it matter? See, God was asking a question. This man was no man at all. This was God struggling with Jacob. Jacob struggling with God. And God asked the question, what is your name? See, what God was trying to do, God was trying to get him to be honest with himself. God was trying to get him to say, truly, my nature, my activity in life revolves all around lying, supplanting, grabbing people's heel, getting things in the wrong manner. And so when he asked him, what is your name? Jacob replies, Jacob. And when Jacob replied with a truthful answer, it released God to bless him. Follow me in this story. He says, the man asked him, what is your name? Jacob, he answered. The man said, your name will no longer be Jacob. Your name will no longer be liar. Your name will no longer be cheater. Your name will no longer supplanter. But now your name will be Israel. It will be prince. There is something when we are honest with where we are at that allows the blessing of God to come and overtake us. We have to be truthful with where we're at. Now, I love this, but it doesn't stop here. The Jacob, now Israel, continues to wrestle. And I love this because it's a flip. Now, he's not wrestling with his past. He's got a new name because God blessed him in this moment and said, your name is no longer Jacob, but now it's Israel. You think, sweet, he gives up and he goes, thanks God, see ya. But he doesn't. He continues to wrestle. Why does he continue to wrestle? Because his fight changed. The fight changed. It went from fighting his past and his present to now fighting for his future. There comes a point in our life where we have to quit fighting the past, face it, be done with it, be done with the present, and now struggle in such a way that you're struggling for your future. You're struggling for the God in your future, and you're wrestling not the enemy, but you're wrestling God for everything that he has for your life. This story excites me in the new year. I love it. I love hearing messages about new. I love hearing messages about change. Why? Because I need it. I need to hear it over and over. There comes a point where you have to fight for your future. The man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, he didn't just release. Jacob said, please tell me your name. That's bold. Jacob's just a different cat. Tell me your name. And he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed them there. So Jacob called the place Peniel. He didn't give up. He wanted more of God. There was some depth that he was missing, and he was like, don't. I need more. Where is the passion for understanding more of God? Some of us, we've sat in church year after year after year, and we've heard the sermons year after year after year. We've read the scriptures over and over. How many of you do a new Bible plan every January? How many of you do it? It's awesome. I love it now because for non-readers, your iPhone, if you plug it in to your car stereo and the aux, it'll read to you. That is like lazy 101, I understand, right? But every day I get my word, Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 2, Psalms, Proverbs, and some of the New Testament. I love it. I love new. It's fresh. It's. But how many of us have lost our passion to know his name? What's your name? Oh yeah, we understand Jesus, the lover of my soul. Jesus, you are my Savior. But truly, can we grasp all of God? Can we grasp how long and how wide and how deep his love is for us? Can we truly, in our finite thinking, grasp that? But can we learn more? Can we get it? If we hunger and thirst, if we wrestle, if we ask the right questions, what's your name? If every day we woke up, God, what's your name? Show me another aspect of who you are. Show me something deeper so that I can get more in love with you. God, show me your name. Wrestle. You got to fight. When you wake up in the morning, you got to hear this song. Oh, can you imagine waking up to this as your alarm clock? You know? No rest for the weary. Where's my eggs? Don't even cook them, baby. Put them in the blender. Put some protein on top and let's roll. I'm joking. Kinda. But can you imagine the tenacity of our faith? I mean, I think of that. I mean, that's my upbringing right there. We would, in the summer months, we had Rocky 1, 2, 3, and 4, okay? 5 was terrible. 6 was, I shouldn't even hit the market. Is there more? Now it's just weird seeing him on stage or on the movies theater. But I can remember we would watch it over and over, and we would, like, 9 a.m. after the Dukes of Hazzard, we would put in the VHS. I don't even know what that is. Put in that VHS, and it'd have to get through some of the flurries and all that, and something that we taped over. You know what I'm talking about. And like, can you remember like taping over things, and you'd miss a portion, and then it'd come back in. And you're like, oh, don't worry, it'll come back. Tell your friends, it'll come back, promise. And we would just watch. And I can remember in those moments, and you've heard Pastor talk about these moments. He loves Rocky too. The moment where she's in the coma and she wakes up out of her coma and she just says those one word. Now that's so Hollywood, because I doubt she would just look at him and say, when? I bet she would say, hey babe, how are you? You know? But in her coma, I guess God was speaking to her. And she turns and she says, when? And when she says when, that music kicks up. You know what I'm talking about. And my brother and I and all of our friends, when that music kicked up, we would start working out in our living room. We had a couch that was around here. We would jump over the couch and we would jump back. We'd do push-ups. We had a bay window. We'd do, you know, karate kicks off. I mean, everything. And we would do it. As long as he did it, we would do it. And where am I going with that? I don't know. But there's something about when we would watch that, man, we got just the tenacity. We could do anything. There's certain songs like that that still pump me up. There's certain praise and worship music that gets you into this flow of like, God can do anything. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. There's songs like that. There's even non-Christian songs that pump me up for the things of God. Ooh. I don't want to break your theology there. But that song right there that he's played, I hear that and I get fired up for Jesus. I don't know how many times we just play it back in youth all the time. Like, welcome. Dun, dun, dun. Can you imagine? I'd like that to be my preaching song as I come up. Follow me, I'm gonna bring it back. Some of y'all think, man, we are getting way out of the spirit here. Maybe we are. But there has to be a tenacity in our faith. There has to be something inside of you today that turns. There has to be. Now, follow me. My mind is just, it's not all there this morning. But in our shower, we got a new house. In our shower, it's very sensitive, the nozzle, okay? So you go from like, if it's straight up, if you turn it that way, your skin is like burnt. You know what I'm talking about, right? How many of you have that water heater? You have that shower in your life? Or somebody flushed the toilet and it's like, you know, and, We have that. I think our water heater was original and it's going out. So, but anyways, it's just one little turn. One little turn changes everything. It makes it hot. It makes it bearable. It makes from cold to hot. Man, it's just one little turn. And I would say today, if you're struggling, all it takes is one more turn. All it takes is one more headlock. All it takes is one more question. All it takes. Answer the one God is asking you. Answer it and answer it truthful. Who are you, Jacob? God, I'm a cheater. God, I'm a liar. God, I've gotten everything by dishonest pleasure. God, I've messed up so much. You understand what that does? That doesn't cause God to turn his back on you. That causes him to run to you. Oh, but I should be further along than this. I've been a believer for 20 years. I've been in ministry for 30 years. Oh, it doesn't matter if you're just honest with where you're at in the struggle you're at. God will come running and he'll change your name in an instant. You're no longer Jacob. Now you're Israel. See, there comes a point where we got to start fighting for our future. And some of you are in this encounter. I'm going to ask Renee to come up because I always do. You know you're out of shape when you start yelling and you get out of breath. It's January. But I believe with all my heart, many of us here today are in the struggle with God. Many of us here today are in that encounter with God. Young, old, been in the faith for months, been in the faith for years. And what I'm finding out, and some of you that have been in life longer than I have, some of you that have been in faith over 30, 40, 50, 60 years, answer me. Answer loudly so other people can hear around you. Is this a one-time wrestle? We don't hear of Jacob's other wrestling matches, but it doesn't mean he didn't have them. I think sometimes we look at this story and we can say, yeah, that's awesome, but I had a wrestling match 20 years ago, and now I'm having this struggle again, and maybe I shouldn't be, and therefore this condemnation and shame and guilt comes. And when God asks the question, what's your name? You sheepishly say, Israel. I got changed back in 1998. I gave my heart to you. I'm good. And we get good at lying to ourselves. Really good. We get really good at lying to ourselves. But God truly is just looking for honest. He's looking for the one that says, oh, I'm screwed up. I've
messed up again. God, come. Someone that will have enough energy to have one more wrestling match. Someone that have enough courage to put that on one more time. That outfit, which is hideous for wrestlers. Say, God, here I am. Let's go. And I think sometimes we think we're going to have to punch God and put him in a headlock. God's going to put us in a headlock, but that's not it. It's not it at all. You know what the wrestling match looks like? Because we wrestle with ourselves so much, we don't know how to stop and allow God to truly love on us. So maybe it's time to wrestle in a different way. With great tenacious faith, just crawling up in Him, saying, here I am. See, this encounter changed everything in his life. Says God touched his hip, wrenched his socket. Thanks, God. Is that physically meant for today that God will wrench our hips? Mm-mm. But he'll touch our hip. You know what that limp meant? Because a man was judged by the way he walked in Jewish times. Limping was a sign of humility. It humbled a man. So this encounter with God will humble you. This encounter with God will humble you to the place of saying, it's not what I can do, but what you can do. And the next morning, Jacob got up, God left. He was limping. Do you think for one second that he had to tell his family, I had an encounter with God? Do you think he had to? What gave it away? The limp. He gave it away. You know what's going to give it away in our lives? When people come at us, and there's just humility. There's just Jesus-like mentality that turns the other cheek when everybody else stands, bows their chest. But they'll notice in your walk, they'll notice the way you walk at your work, in your school, at your job. Something about a name. This morning, I'm going to end with that question. What is your name? With heads bowed and eyes closed, and no one looking around, you're here today and you want to answer that question. Jacob was alone, so we're not asking people to look around right now. So between you and God and the wrestle that you have right here in this moment, what is your name? If you want to be honest with God and say, you know what, I'm a type of Jacob today and I need a name change, I want you to lift up your hand. Put it up. Yeah, hands all over. Put them up. Put them up, put them right back down. Put them up. Yeah. Father, you know the struggle. Father, I pray right now for those that have raised their hands, God, that you would come and, Lord, you would speak over their life. God, as they're being honest with you, Father, may your blessing flow over them. God, may your name, the name that is above all names, God, may your name be placed over their heart God, may it cover sins as far as the east is from the west. God, may it cover their life in such a way that there is a security in you. Jesus, at your name, at the mention of your name, Father, there is peace, there is security, there is a hope. You have the name that is above all names. And God, we invoke the name of Jesus for every person here. And we all prayed and said, amen. Now I'm going to close my second one. How many of you were here when last week when Paul mentioned that to Pastor in the Haiti? It may have been second service, but Paul Bailey, who was a part of our Haiti team, said something to Pastor like, you know, Pastor's asking him about his preaching. First time he ever preached, it was in Haiti. And he said, well, I learned from you, Pastor, so I got my five closings together and went after it. We laughed, and Dina and I stood and clapped, and then I got in trouble on Monday. But I came across this scripture in Revelation 2:17. It says, whoever has ears, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. To the one who is victorious, I will give some of the hidden manna. Hidden manna? Jesus. The bread of life. We have some hidden manna. We have some stuff in here that is better than anything. Some people can't see it. Some people don't realize it, but they will. I'll also give that person a white stone with a new name written on it. And here the white stone, in ancient time, in ancient Roman custom, during a trial, if you were acquitted, they would give you a white stone. If you were released, if you were condemned, they'd give you a black stone. And so they say, with this white stone is going to be with you. You've been acquitted from all your sins with a new name written on it. This new name is the name of adoption. It's known only to the one who receives it. Remember the time when you were adopted? I remember it. First time that Jesus' name was put on my life. And because of that, I live. Because of that, I continue to fight. Because of that, I continue to wrestle. Because of that, I will fight till the day I die. And I pray you do too. Stand to your feet. How many of you love the Word of God? Amen. Well, I bless you in the name of Jesus. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, God bless every family. God, I pray for those right now that have the struggle. God, help them overcome. Give them the white stone with a new name written all over it. I pray it in the mighty name of Jesus. Everyone said, amen. God bless you. We will see you Wednesday night, 7 o'clock.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.